Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching was recorded at our 2010 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. For those of you that have not been here, I've been talking about how that God's already given us everything. It's already in us. We don't need God to move and to do something. He's already done everything. I've been teaching from Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. And last night I was in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 that we're saved by grace through faith. Grace is what God does. It's independent of us. It's before we were ever born. It has nothing to do with you. Grace is separate completely from you in any performance. Faith is our response to what God has done by grace. If you think that faith is something you do to get God to move, then it's not true Bible faith. Faith doesn't move God. God's not the one that's stuck. God has already moved by grace, anticipated every need that you'll ever have, and by grace, He's already provided it. Faith doesn't move God. Faith moves you. It'll move the devil. It'll move circumstances. But faith is just a positive response to God. Faith is a way of reaching out and appropriating what God has already provided. And you know, typically when I teach on You've Already Got It, I'll go on to other things. And this has been a little different. So those of you that have been here, if you've gotten my teaching on You've Already Got It, you may think, well, you've already got it. We have people call in and say, I'd like that teaching that Andrew's talking about. And they'll say, you've already got it. And they say, I do. And they'll say, no, but we'll send it to you. And they said, I thought you said I already had it. We've had a lot of fun out of that. But anyway, this teaching on You've Already Got, it's not exactly the same as what I've been doing this week. And I'm going to slow down this morning. And I'm going to just illustrate what I was talking about last night about grace and faith. That God, by grace, has already provided everything. And faith is just a way of resting, receiving what God has already provided. And here in Hebrews chapter 4, this is exactly what he's talking about. I wish I had time to put all of this in his context, but the book of Hebrews is to show that Jesus is the superior way of God speaking to us. It trumps the Old Testament things that were communicated through angels and through the law, that Jesus has changed everything. It talks about that there's a change of the law, there's a change of priesthood, and it's really a powerful book. In the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, it talks about how that the Israelites came out of the land of Egypt, and God never intended for them to live in the wilderness. He wanted them to enter into this promised land, and that was His will for them, but they didn't enter in because of their unbelief. You could liken this to grace and faith. God, by grace, had a plan for them, and His plan wasn't for them to spend 40 years in the wilderness. He planned for them to enter in. He, by grace, it wasn't because they deserved it. The Jews weren't the greatest people. The Lord said that. The Lord told them. He says, you're a stiff-necked people. He says, I didn't redeem you because you were the mightiest nation on the face of the earth. I did it because of my covenant with Abraham. And he had a plan for the Jews, which was to enter in to the promised land, into this land flowing with milk and honey and all of this abundance. And that was God's will. But the people rebelled, and because of their unbelief, they spent 40 years in the wilderness that God never intended. Likewise, God has a plan for us. And I was talking about this, how He wants us to live in absolute abundance and victory in every area of our life. That's grace. It's not based on what you deserve. You don't have to earn it. It's just God's will. It's a grace gift that He's given to us. But does that mean that it automatically comes to pass? No, because we have a part to play. We have to believe and trust in Him in order for God's grace to have its full impact in our life. We can void the grace of God through our unbelief. And so there is a perfect parallel between this. And so in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, some should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You have to take what God provides and mix it with faith. You're saved by grace through faith. It's a combination of those two. And if we don't respond positively to what God has planned for us, then it's not going to come to pass. But on the other hand, you can't just emphasize faith either, because you can believe and try and make things come to pass. And if God hadn't provided it, you can't make it happen. It has to be something that God has provided, but then you do have to respond in faith to it. That's what this is talking about. In verse 3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now again, Hebrews chapter 4 is really wordy in the King James. It's Old English. And what he's doing here, he's saying that there is a rest for us. And then he quotes from Psalms chapter 95, verse 11. David is the one that spoke this. And he says that he that believes on the Lord does enter into rest. And David was telling the people of his generation that there was a rest for the people of God. And then the rest of these verses go on to say that this wasn't fulfilled when the Jews entered into the promised land, because that happened under Joshua. And then hundreds of years later, here's the king, David, who was also a prophet, prophesying and saying that there is a rest for the people of God. And so he's saying that this couldn't have been fulfilled when they entered into the promised land. There is still a rest that remains for the people of God. And then Paul, or whoever the writer of Hebrews is bringing this down into modern day and saying to the New Testament saints that there is a rest for us. Now let me just say some things here that, you know, when I first read this, it didn't totally connect with me, because I was thinking, when I thought of rest, I thought of like laying down, going to sleep. And I thought, you know, is there a place in the Lord to where you can just, you know, quit trying, quit seeking the Lord, quit praying, quit studying the Word, and somehow or another you just rest and everything works? That's not what this is talking about. And to prove that, it goes on and it now starts quoting from Genesis, and it talks about when the Lord created the heavens and the earth, and He sanctified the seventh day and rested on the seventh day. So it's talking about a Sabbath day rest. And let me just illustrate this, that in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "Haven't you heard about the Lord, that He never gets weary, He never faints, there is no limits to His strength and ability?" When the Lord created the heavens and the earth and then He rested on the seventh day, it wasn't because He was tired. It wasn't because He was worn out. It wasn't because, you know, if He created one more moon, He was just going to have to, He was going to pass out. I mean, He had given it everything He could do. He didn't have it in Him to do any more. No, it's not that kind of a rest. It's like when a lawyer says, "I rest my case." It's not because the lawyer's worn out. It's because he said everything that there is to say. He's presented all of the facts. It's through. It's complete. It's like when an artist paints a picture and he gets through it and he looks at it and he says, "It's perfect. If I add one more brush stroke to it, it's going to ruin it." And so he just rests. It's not because that artist is worn out from holding that paintbrush. It's because it's through. It's complete. And this is what it's talking about. When the Lord rested, it wasn't because He was tired. It was because it was complete. Creation was perfect. Let me just show you a couple of things. Most people skip through this and they don't think about this. But look in Genesis chapter 1 at the way God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." Excuse me, that's John chapter 1. That's a great verse. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." And so then he separated the water that was above the firmament from the water that was below the firmament here on the earth. In other words, He created space and He separated heaven from earth and did those things on the second day. On the third day, down here in, let's see, what day was that? Well, in verse 10, it says, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Now, notice this in verse 11. This is really important. The Lord said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Why didn't God just say, let there be grass? Let there be trees. See, if he would have just created trees and grass, then he would have had to have recreated trees and grass. Every time that original tree died, he had had to create a new tree. Every time that grass died, he had had to create new grass. When he created the animals, he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. When he created man, he told us to replenish the earth. The point is, if you really go through here and study, he didn't just create animals and create trees and create grass, but he said it in a way that sounds real wordy and you wonder why he said this. It's because in his creation, he didn't just create the original creation, but he gave everything the ability to reproduce and to recreate and procreate. He created everything perfectly. So that this morning he didn't have to get up and say, let there be a million new cows to replace all the ones that died. Let there be a million new trees. God has never done anything else about creation since the first 6 days of creation. He created everything in a way that the entire creation reproduces, procreates. It was complete. And that's the reason that he rested, because it was absolutely perfect. There was nothing left to do. The Lord didn't have anything else. He has never done anything about creation since. There has never been another animal created. Nothing has ever been created.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on what we've already been given in Christ. This teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM242 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.